You're listening to some of my best and most knobbly bits from today's show. Now, for many years, Eilert Waldman had difficulty controlling her moods, and so for many years tried various solutions, both medicinal and therapeutic. But she did find one. However, it was something she only practiced for a month, as it was illegal. For that month, she microdosed on LSD. She's the author of A Really Good Day. Eilert, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Nice to talk to you today.
Could you start by telling us something of your problem with your ungovernable moods? What particular avenues did you explore over the years?
What didn't I explore over the years? I have a mood disorder, a cyclical mood disorder that is tied to my period. So basically, it's like PMS on steroids. If typical PMS is you kind of shout at your husband when you're right before your period, mine is you throw a mug of coffee at your husband's head in the week before your period. And I had been on lots and lots of different medications. The list of medications that I was prescribed goes on for, you know, an entire page in the book. But and eventually I had a treatment plan that was working very well. But then I hit my 40s, and when one is, woman of a certain age, you can no longer predict when you're going to get your period, so I couldn't predict how I was going to time my medication. So my regimen completely fell apart, and everything started up all over again. New medications, they didn't work. New treatment plans, they didn't work. Every kind of therapy you can imagine, and nothing worked.
Mm. So then you came across this chap, James Fadiman. Who is he?
Yes, I did. He's a psychologist and a researcher who, in the 1960s, he did legal psychedelic research. His particular area of interest was the connection between psychedelics and creativity. But he had, he had a legally sponsored medical research study in the area that's now Silicon Valley around Stanford University in the 1960s. And he has maintained his curiosity and interest in the area and has been collecting for now nearly, I would say, probably 6 to 7 years, anecdotal reports of microdosing for various ailments and issues.
All the research, well, I don't know if it's the case that all the research, but I imagine an awful lot of the research into LSD was closed down when it became a
virtually all of it was, yes. So yeah. When it was criminalized in the 1960s, I mean, there were thousands of studies in the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, medical studies, psychiatric studies on all sorts of different things. But the research was absolutely 100% shut down in late 1960s. There was, in Switzerland, they kept doing some research, but the rest of the world, closed the doors on the labs. But then lately, in the past 5 or 6 years, there has been a resurgence of interest in both LSD, but particularly psilocybin, which is very similar to LSD and is the psychedelic, that's what, magic mushrooms are.
Yeah.
That's the molecule that's at issue in magic mushrooms. And there's been a lot of research that's been coming in the United States and in England about the use of psilocybin and other psychedelics in treating depression and anxiety, particularly in people experiencing severe depression and anxiety at the prospect of their deaths. These are people with fatal illnesses.
Mm. Now, when we say microdosing, what does that mean exactly?
That means a tiny dose. So let's say a regular sort of a dose that your basic person who's going to Burning Man might take, which is say it's about 100 to 200 micrograms, not milligrams, micrograms.
Mm.
So that in and of itself is a small dose because LSD is very, very psychoactive. So that's like the typical dose you're going to see Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, shapes and colors, and maybe have a terrible bad trip too. A microdose is 10 micrograms, so it's between 5 and 10% of a typical dose.
Right, okay. And for you to secure that, obviously, I assume you couldn't secure it legally.
No, you can't. And I'm a lawyer, criminal defense attorney, so it was even more ridiculous that I was trying to do this thing. But just to tell you, I was very desperate at the time that I made the decision to do it. I was suicidal. I was doing things like Googling the effects of maternal suicide on children. I have 4 kids.
Wow.
But what I did is I just kind of asked. I live in Berkeley, California. I thought that orange sunshine would rain down on my head. But in fact, the Venn diagram of, middle-aged mums of 4 and psychedelic drug users does not cross. or at least mine didn't. So I couldn't find it anywhere, and eventually I was talking to to a young man in a cafe that I frequent. I do my writing there, and as does he. And he said to me, you know, I heard a story about someone who's very old, a professor at an institution somewhere around us, and he has been microdosing for decades. And my understanding is that he has lots of it, and maybe he has some extra because, I mean, he's going to die soon. He's really, really old. Maybe he'll kick you his, you know, whatever he has left. Stupidest, most ridiculous story I'd ever heard. Couldn't possibly be true. So I put it out of my mind, and then one day I went out to my mailbox, and there amidst the, you know, Victoria's Secret circulars and utility bills was a little brown paper package covered in very old, very brightly colored stamps with the return address Lewis Carroll. And inside the package was a little cobalt blue bottle and instructions for use.
Right. So it was literally and figuratively from Wonderland, so to speak.
Exactly. It dropped into my lap from Wonderland. But I'm not an idiot. I didn't just take it.
Yeah.
You know?
What did you do?
I didn't want to grow very, very big or very, very small. So I tested it. I ordered a testing kit online from Amazon.com and made sure that it really was what it purported to be.
And so then taking it was in liquid form, I assume.
Yes, it was in liquid form.
So
it was LSD diluted in distilled water.
Right. Okay. So did you take a kind of little drop of it on the top of the tongue every day?
Not every day. I took each drop was 5 micrograms. I put 2 drops under my tongue, and I did it every 3 days. That's the protocol that James Fadiman has come up with, because there's a curious phenomenon where the sort of positive effects seem to last for 2 days, day one and day two. And then day three is kind of a reset day. You want to just sort of assess where you are, where you've been, make sure that, just to give you... Since what I was doing was an experiment to assess if this was actually useful, it was good to have a third day every cycle where I could kind of compare that mood to the days that had come before.
Mm. So how did it change your moods?
Well, I'll say this. Because the research is not going on legally now into microdosing, I can't say with any confidence that what I experienced was not a placebo effect.
Yeah.
But it sure didn't feel like one. My suicidal ideation, it vanished on the first day I took the medication. It was simply gone. My mood improved dramatically. It wasn't like I was no longer. I was still, you know, prickly, and I had low moments, but it was very, very different. I was not in that very dark, very desperate place anymore. And, you know, that sustained for the entire month. And in a way, it's kind of sustained since because, you know, when you have a cyclical mood disorder, I know that it's possible that I'll get depressed again, but I have not crashed to those depths in the time since I did it.
Mm. As you were saying, it was cyclical and it was somewhat allied with your menstrual cycle. Then what was it like then when you were premenstrual? Did that feel different then once you were microdosing?
It felt... It was as though I was taking when my medication regimen was working, when I was taking SSRIs for the week before, the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, antidepressants, in the week before my period, and that worked so well. This was analogous. I had the same lack of symptoms in that period of time as I had when I was doing my medications were working well, and then I had all sorts of other positive results. Which was, you know, I had this kind of enhanced creativity, and I had this enhanced, I just worked really well. You know, I mean, there are a lot of particularly young people in the United States who take Adderall, Ritalin, some of them because they have ADHD, some of them just as a performance enhancement medication. And it is, LSD in small doses does act very much like that, but without the kind of agitating effects. It's also not addictive, and Adderall and Ritalin both are.
Was it anyway like trippy, even a little bit?
On the first day, about 90 minutes after I took it, I looked out my window and my dogwood tree was in bloom, and I had this thought like, oh, look how pretty the dogwood tree is in bloom. Not, you know, a normal person, a very normal reaction to that, but it was unusual for me because I'm not a stop and smell the roses kind of gal. I'm a sort of get to the next place kind of person, and I don't even notice that the roses are blooming, let alone stop to smell their fragrance. So that I noticed was the closest it came to, I didn't notice anything unusual, but I noticed something, it was atypical, the noticing was atypical for me.
Right, okay.
And that's as close as I got to anything trippy.
All right, so no weekend listening to all your Doors albums or anything like that.
Yeah, no. And in fact, I've never had a trip like that. I'm not interested in it, which maybe explains why I've never really liked the Doors or the Grateful Dead. But if you're looking for that, this is not the place to look.
But
if you're looking for that, you already know where to look.
Yeah, exactly. After the month then, Isla, did you miss it? Did you feel something was lacking then?
Terribly. I miss it every single day. There is no doubt in my mind, if this drug were legal, I would be doing it regularly. I feel it's hard. It's hard as a person with a mental illness to know that there's medication that can help, but that you can't do it for what really are stupid reasons. I mean, the drug war is a catastrophe, and the way that we've combat, it has been far less effective than alternatives, including decriminalization. And it's very frustrating to know that I could have relief if it were not illegal. But I do all sorts of things to try to maintain my stability. I try to meditate somewhat ineffectively, I have to say. I am in a very demanding therapeutic model that requires me basically to see a therapist 3 times a week to try to maintain my stability. I do all sorts of things to keep myself stable it would be a lot easier if I could take the medication. And there are definitely times where I feel I've not been as depressed, but I've definitely been less stable than I would be if I were effectively medicated. I mean, as you might know, if you follow my Twitter feed, let's just say it's been a challenge since November 8th. Mm.
Isla Waldman is the author of A Really Good Day, How Microdosing Made a Mega Difference in My Mood, My Marriage and My Life. Isla, thank you very much for talking to us.
Oh, it's a real pleasure. Thanks.
Thanks for listening. Hope you were enthralled, horrified or tickled pink. For more of the same, tune into Moncrief weekdays from 1:30.